Speaking before the recitation of the Angelus on Sunday last week, the Feast of the Annunciation, Pope Benedict XVI noted this celebration coincided with the annual Day of Remembrance for those missionaries who have been martyred for their faith.
24 marzo, anniversario dell'assassinio di Monsignor Oscar Romero, arcivescovo di San Salvador, si è celebrata la giornata di preghiera e digiuno per i missionari martiri.
The Pope noted that March 24th is the exact anniversary of the assassination of the former Archbishop of San Salvador, Oscar Romero, who was shot through the heart while celebrating Mass in the simple chapel of the hospital where he lived. Just the day before his death, he had delivered an impassioned homily, calling for an end to repression by the country's powerful military, engaged in a civil war against leftist guerrillas. Appointed Archbishop of war-torn San Salvador in 1977, Romero was widely seen as a timid and conservative leader who was unlikely to cause any trouble to the military government. But as he travelled around the country seeing firsthand the injustice and repression being carried out by death squads, his indignation and his condemnation grew. In just a few years, he became known all over the world for his uncompromising message of peace, justice and reconciliation. On March 24th, 1980, he was gunned down by a hired assassin. Yet more than a quarter of a century after his death, his message is more influential than ever before.
I think he's the patron in waiting for the justice and peace movement. He really was the paradigm example of an ordinary priest trained in a traditional way who did quite extraordinary things in absolute commitment to the challenging social teaching of the Church.
Julian Filakowski is chairman of the UK-based Archbishop Romero Trust, which was set up earlier this year under the patronage of Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor of Westminster.
The Trust was actually founded in 2005, but we collected together our trustees and our patrons and some initial funds, and we had a public launch in January with Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor and with Archbishop John Sentamu, the Anglican Archbishop of York. And we've set up alongside it an association of Friends of Romero, which allows all kinds of people concerned about Archbishop Romero or involved in justice and peace to link themselves to the work of the Trust.
So tell us, what would you say is really the main aims of this trust?
Well, we've been set up to promote knowledge about the life and the work and the death, I suppose, of Archbishop Romero, to celebrate the anniversaries of his martyrdom, his birth, appropriately and liturgically, to foster private devotion to him in accordance with the guidelines that are in operation when a beatification process is going on. And we are trying to raise money to finance small projects in his memory that continue his work for social development, human rights, and support to the poorest communities in Central America. We've already funded the refurbishment of the little house where Archbishop Romero lived in the grounds of the Divine Providence Cancer Hospital, and that we put in air conditioning and blinds and new cabinets for the relics, which unfortunately after 25 years were beginning to decay a little. And with the Carmelite sisters there, we had a little project which has hopefully made that much more secure for the future, because that house is a holy place, a place of pilgrimage for thousands and thousands of people every year.
As you say, it's more than a quarter of a century since his murder, and yet he's still very much revered, isn't he, by the Catholic community there in El Salvador, but also throughout Latin America.
He's revered in El Salvador. Monsignor is as they say, is alive in the Salvadoran people. He's revered throughout Latin America, but he's revered worldwide. And this last weekend, the 27th anniversary, there were masses, liturgies and celebrations to mark that event all over the world. In England alone, I know of services in Liverpool, Shrewsbury, Westminster, and a major mass in Scotland celebrated by Cardinal Keith O'Brien along with the Apostolic Nuncio. He's remembered people doing confirmation classes. His life is brought to them as a great contemporary example of a Gaudium et Spes bishop. The diaconate programs use details of his work because he was very much a diaconal bishop, a man of service. And he's a great inspiration.
You yourself met him, didn't you? Tell us a little bit about that, the work you were able to do with him.
Well, I knew him. I met him on several occasions, and I was so privileged. It's the greatest privilege of my life to have enjoyed his friendship. I worked with him when the church was being persecuted and human rights were being massively violated. I was finding support for him from the church in Europe and publicizing some of the most grotesque abominations that were going on. I took a parliamentary delegation to get into the prisons and the National Guard headquarters where torture took place, and that was in support of Archbishop Romero. I helped make the links with the late Cardinal Hume and Cardinal Sunens of Brussels and Cardinal Marty of Paris, who again gave him great support when, unfortunately, some of his fellow bishops in El Salvador were hostile to the pastoral approach he took. But he was a very simple man, and a man with a very deep spirituality, but yet self-effacing and simple, and yet an enormously great speaker and orator and preacher. And his preaching and teaching was really what inspired and enthused his people.
His preaching, his teaching were also what caused the regime in the end to order his assassination. You're calling for his beatification, and yet there are still those who see him as a victim of the political situation rather than a martyr who died for his faith, aren't there?
Well, the cause was set in motion in 1990 on the 10th anniversary of his assassination. It went through the process in the diocese, and Monsignor is now on the first rung of the ladder. He is servant of God, Romero. The cause was brought to Rome not by people with a political motive, but actually by the current Archbishop of San Salvador, Monsignor Sanz La Calle, who is a member of the Opus Dei family. And it has been brought there, it has been examined in Rome, but it's currently outside the canonization track because there's been a review of his teaching to ascertain and to check out that it was fully orthodox. And I understand that process is complete, and we're waiting for the cause to go forward, for him to be recognized as a martyr and hopefully beatified and eventually canonized as an icon of holiness, as a great example for the church in Latin America and worldwide of a bishop who lived the magisterium. He was a martyr to the magisterium and who made that option for the poor, which can be such a glib phrase. He made it a reality. He lived it in his daily life, in his ministry, and he gave his life for the poor.
San Salvador, El Salvador, of course, still suffers huge problems of poverty today. Do you think that Archbishop Romero would be perhaps somewhat saddened if he came back today to see, in some ways, how little things have progressed since his assassination?
Well, a lot of things have progressed that I think he will be pleased with, and the war has ended and that right-left violence has ended. The violence today is of a different nature and order after the Civil War. There's been a lot of change in the countryside. The economy is very different. And I think, like everything, he would look back and some things sad at the changes and others he would celebrate them. And we spend a lot of time saying, what would Monsignor say today? He wrote to President Carter to try to block the military aid to El Salvador, which was being used against the campesinos, the peasants in the countryside. I wonder what he would write to President Bush today. The way he lived, the commitment he had to human rights, his weekly denunciations were like an ongoing truth commission. And since his death, the methodology he used of isolating the facts, who was responsible, where it happened, of offering support to the victims and seeking that there should be no impunity, has actually been the process that the world has taken on. So I think there are many things he would look back on. And I think that the church in Latin America today, the people of the church in Latin America today, just would love to see him recognized formally as a holy person, eventually as a saint of the church.
You've also been involved in the launch of a book of his reflections, his meditations, haven't you?
Yes, there was through the year with Oscar Romero is a collection of extracts from his homilies and writings, which was originally published in San Salvador many years ago. But there's been such a great interest in him all over the world, people looking for not only the biographies, of which there are two or three around, but his words, that this was translated into English and was launched in Britain in January of this year. And many bishops have bought copies for their clergy. And I understand that the Anglican Archbishop of York is going to distribute it to all his clergy for their Holy Week reading. The words he has are a kind of evangelical wisdom, which is quite timeless, and people find it enormously helpful today.
You see him very much as a kind of patron saint of the justice and peace movement, don't you? Are you optimistic that he will, in fact, be beatified in perhaps the near future?
Well, I think he's the patron in waiting for the justice and peace movement. He really was the paradigm example of an ordinary priest trained in a traditional way who did quite extraordinary things in absolute commitment to the challenging social teaching of the church. And he lived it and gave his life for it. And I think that the justice and peace movement, which strives and struggles with terrible challenges without easy answers, which was exactly as Romero would, he would be one of a future patron. But I am confident that one day in the not-too-distant future, he will be beatified. This year would be his 90th birthday. If this process cannot really get a boost this year, I hope it will be very soon afterwards, and certainly in time for the 30th anniversary of his martyrdom in 2010.
And my thanks there to Julian Filikowski, chairman of the Archbishop Romero Trust.